It looks like David Parker is here. David, welcome.
Thank you. Yes, good to be here.
Good on you. Now, while we're waiting for Dawn to be connected, would you mind just telling us a little bit about who you are and what it is you do?
Okay, sure. Well, Dawn and I have written several books. We're both retired from our original professions. I was an electrical engineer. Dawn was an accountant. And we've been writing together for about 20 years. We've written books about the nature of reality, probably our best known ones, and about what really makes you ill, which we got into and released the book about Christmas 2019, actually, just before the whole COVID scandemic, as some people call it, hit the world. And because we were trying to find out, and we did it, it was a 10-year study to study the medical system, really, to find out if germs really did make you ill, and if they didn't, what was the real cause of disease. And so we had to do a very deep dive into the whole medical profession, including the pharmaceutical industry, to see if their drugs actually help people. We had to look at vaccinations. We had to talk to doctors to find out how they were trained. So that's why it took a long time to write and research the book. But finally, we came up with a book, which is nearly 800 pages. So it's a big, thick book, and with 40 pages of references. So it's all fully referenced. And it sort of really pulls the rug out from under the whole of the medical system, because it shows quite conclusively that germs, bacteria and viruses are not the things that actually make people ill. The reasons people get ill are for many other reasons, which we detail in the book, mostly toxicity and lack of proper nutrition, EMFs, electromagnetic frequencies, and prolonged emotional stress. Those are the main four factors that are the root cause of just about every illness that people fall prey to, if you like. But germs were never found scientifically to be the cause. And we searched a lot right through all the medical literature. We talked to doctors about it and said, where are the scientific papers that prove any germ, whether it be a bacterium or a virus, where is the scientific papers that prove that it actually is the sole cause of a disease? And they're not there. They're nowhere in the medical history. And of course, since we released our book in 2019, many other doctors now have started to speak out. Some of the more well-known ones are Dr. Tom Cowan, Dr. Andrew Kaufman, and Dr. Stefan Lanker, who is a trained virologist. And that's where the root of the problem is. We found that virology, so-called virology, is not actually a science. They call it a science, but when we investigated how they do their test to supposedly isolate a virus, that it's a very faulty procedure and doesn't actually isolate a virus and doesn't prove that it causes a disease. So this is where the root of the problem started, with the germ theory, which is still called a theory, of course, and remains a theory to this day and has never been proven, which was a great shock to us 10 years ago. Well, more than that now, 13 years ago. It was a great shock to us when we came across that. And so we had to do this deep dive and talk to doctors and scientists and other researchers all around the world.
So
that's how it started.
How much money's been made off of antiseptic and anti-this and anti-that or whatever, when the things don't even freaking exist?
Exactly. And that's what keeps it going. It's billions, absolute billions. The pharmaceutical industry, of course, being the recipients of those billions. I mean, doctors do get pretty well paid wherever they are. But it's fear, as we found when we talked to doctors, because we thought, well, all doctors can't be sort of evil people where they know the truth, that actually their lotions and potions, as we call them, don't actually cure anything. And in most cases, they actually cause further problems. which they then give more lotions and potions to cure the so-called side effects. So it's a nice business model for the pharmaceutical companies.
It's not a business model. It's called the Hegelian dialectic. We create the problem, and then when you have a reaction to the thing that we gave you, we've got a solution.
Absolutely. But they make a lot of money, so that's why I say a good business model. They've got repeat customers. And they make billions. So in my book, that's a good business model from a money point of view. But from an ethical point of view, I mean, it stinks, doesn't it? You know, it really does, because people are suffering and dying. And that's the really big thing. Lots of people, millions, and this can be shown, over the years, have died. And I have friends and relatives who number in that, you know, where they've taken the prescribed treatments and it's killed them. So, you know, I have personal experience of that within my close family and friends. And I'm sure there are many other people, probably a number of your listeners, will also be able to relate to that. They will know someone that's either had so-called COVID, which, as we explained, doesn't actually exist, never been proved to exist. People get symptoms, but they're not caused by a new virus. And even things like cancer, you know. Again, I have had family members who were diagnosed with cancer, various cancers over the years. They took the prescribed treatment and they died. But I had another relative who was also diagnosed with cancer and refused to take the prescribed treatment, and she lived. And the doctors were able to tell her after 18 months, 2 years, that her cancer had completely disappeared. So that was an object lesson for me many years ago, that the people who took the treatment died and the people that didn't lived. So you know, it couldn't be any clearer than that. And of course, when we investigated cancer, we found out why, when we realized what was the actual cause. So, I mean, that's something we can talk about if you wish.
Mm.
So,
I think Dr. Leonard Caldwell, he told me that cancer is caused by making compromises against yourself.
Well, in a way, I suppose that's true, because we found that cancers originate in the body over quite a long period of time, when generally, not always, but generally, sort of excess amounts of toxicity being taken in by the body, either through what you eat, drink, or absorbed through the skin, or inhaled. And of course, we're surrounded by all sorts of toxic materials nowadays, aren't we? Even cleaning products around the home, many of them contain toxins of one sort or another. And even our food, you know, what's in it. If people eat processed food, there's lots of additives, colorings, preservatives, to say nothing of what they could be sprayed with when they're growing, if it's crops. And many of those chemicals reside still on the fruit and vegetables, which we then eat if we're not careful. So there's many areas where toxins can enter our body. And if they are not, if the body is not able to detox those chemicals over a long period of time, that's when cancers can start to, it's when the body's not been able to get rid of the toxins, and so it sort of stores them in fatty areas, but the medical establishment then diagnose those as a tumor, but it's really it's toxins that are encapsulated. And then, of course, they want to give you chemotherapy drugs, which are highly toxic.
So are you saying that Arnold Schwarzenegger was right all these years? It's not the tumor.
Sorry, I didn't quite catch that.
Arnold Schwarzenegger was right all these years. That quote from Kindergarten Cop. It might be a tumor. It's not a tumor.
Right, okay. Well, it is in the eyes of the medical establishment, but they honestly don't know what they're talking about, and they certainly don't know how to treat it. And they, by their own admission, of course, administer chemotherapy drugs that, by their own admission, are highly toxic. Well, you can't poison the body back to health. I mean, that's common sense, isn't it? But that's what they do, or that's what they try to do. But I, as I say, I know from personal experience with family members that it doesn't work, and it just, they eventually die, usually within 1 to 2 years, and that's generally what, how long it takes to kill the person, depending on how healthy they were to start with. But sooner or later, if they keep taking the treatment, it will kill them. So it, you know, the whole cancer thing is a very sad affair, and one of the things that we try to wake people up to, that there are other ways, and the best method is prevention, of course.
Yeah.
And if people live a healthy life, eat good food, drink clean water, and a good intake of antioxidants so that the body can detox, then they will stay healthy and they won't get things such as cancer. In fact, they won't get any illness, which is the main thing that we try to encourage people to understand, that health is quite natural and it's quite a simple thing, and all you have to do is take note of the four factors that I just mentioned.
Can you ask him, could we invite Dawn or something, because
right, okay, I'm just getting a message here.
Yeah, we haven't got Dawn on the show yet. I'm going to add her to the call, if that's all right. I'm going to see if I actually can share a link for others to join. There we go. Copy that. All right, guys, give me 1 second here just to suss out and get Dawn back with us, because that's a pain. So I think she's on a number of other calls over here, so let's message her and give her the link to this call, and okay, that should sort it out here. All right, there we go, and paste it, and done. Join us on that call, please. Boom, sorted. She'll be here any moment. Well,
excellent.
One can only hope. And thank you very much to your producer over there on that side, David, for giving us that pointer there. All right, so while we're live as well, the point of this is kind of like, all right, why would somebody do this? It's like, why would somebody do this? And it's just like, look, there are people out there who aren't like you and I. Okay, you go to sleep and you're like, baby, what happened today? And you go, oh, well, I got into an argument with somebody and I can't sleep, you know. But the psychopath, on the other hand, was like, baby, what'd you do today? Oh, well, I killed about 50 people with cancer drugs. Good night, honey. just out like a light. And you... anyway, it's just that fundamental difference that people really need to understand, that there are people like that. That exist, and they love power and control and feed their way into the systems of power and control and wind up with their BS convincing everybody of a world that is not real. Dawn Lester, welcome to the show. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you. Sorry about that. I have no idea what was happening, but yes, I'm here now. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I take full responsibility. Whether I wasn't fully responsible, I don't know, but I'm going to take full responsibility anyway. Dawn, please tell us a little bit about who you are and what it is you do.
Well, because I don't know what's been said. I mean, I used to be an accountant until I found something more interesting to do, which is, you know, research and writing. And once I started diving into the research and finding out how the world worked and what was going on with health, and you know, it just changed everything I thought I knew.
I'd imagine that if you're trying to look for something more interesting than accounting, you're spoiled for choice.
Yes, almost. Yes, it's the Monty Python, isn't it? Yes.
This is what accountancy does to people. It forces them to become medical researchers. Stop this terrible social disease.
It was just lousy careers advice at school, so yeah.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Please continue.
Yes, it's just that once you start diving down the rabbit holes, it's, I mean, in some ways it can be scary, but at the same time it's also exciting, because then you find that you're not tied to what you think you've been told, and so you can learn something new and find that you actually have more freedom, or you can have more freedom, even though it can be a bit scary with what the system's now doing. Once you start learning that the system is not how things are. It's not how things are naturally. It's a contrived system, and the more you learn about health, certainly kind of, it's just everything is inverted. There's a whole load of contradictions. So it is very empowering, in fact, even though it can be a bit scary, because you realise that you're being told sort of, well, lies most of the time, and so you kind of, well, okay, if they're lying, I can do my own thing, and I don't have to listen to them anymore, I suppose, in a nutshell, really.
That's the news in a nutshell. I was just thinking to myself the other day that the news is kind of like fantasy. It's like watching a movie, and the movies are kind of like predictions. It's like watching the news. Because, you know, how many sci-fi dystopias have we got going on here, and how many of them might be based on a medical tyranny of some description, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, apparently, Mark Passio put out a video, I think in 2019, 2020 maybe, showing that the reason why Nazi Germany managed to get control of their full population is because they staged a pandemic. And they said, hey, these Jews have diseases. We've got to round them up to keep them safe, and keep you safe, you know, that kind of thing. And here in New Zealand, we had socialist International's former leader, Jacinda Ardern, as our Prime Minister, telling everybody, stay safe, be kind. And I see the repeat of history happening here. And what you guys have done in terms of your research, what is it, 800-page book with 40 pages of references, did you say, David?
Yes, that's correct. So you can don't put into a copy of it there. Just a nice little plug there. It can seem a bit of a daunting tome to people, but Dawn and I worked very hard in writing it so that, you know, everyone can read it and understand it. You don't need to be a medic of any sort or a biologist or anything like that. And that's not to say we've dumbed it down. All the facts are there, but we've written it so every man and woman can read it and understand it and gain knowledge from it and put that knowledge to good use to protect themselves, really, and to live healthy lives, a long and healthy life, in fact, and not to be afraid they're going to be attacked by some unknown germ that the medical establishment and the governments around the world seem to keep inventing a new one every other day and giving them all sorts of scary names. And as you rightly said, Vinny, earlier, you know, it's they create a problem and wait for a reaction, and then they supply the solution, supposedly. But I think the sooner the public realize that they keep doing this, the sooner they'll stop paying attention. And I'm happy to say the feedback that we get is that more and more people around the world are seeing how they're being lied to by their governments. I mean, government in itself is something that we could have a whole episode about, isn't it? The validity of government or invalidity. Well, that's another episode, I guess.
Oh, well, it's summed up in the simple definition of the word, governe from the Latin and mente from the Latin. It means mind control. You know, I'm in favour of having a government. You're in favour of being under mind control. Okay, it sounds like it's working.
It does. Yeah.
Yes. Fortunately, many of us managed to kind of wrest control over our own minds, and more people are doing that. It's taking some time because, you know, this system, I mean, it goes back long before even Nazi Germany, kind of the control over what they call education, but is actually only school, just to make us believe what we're told, you know, trust in authority and all those sorts of things, so that we don't question. And that's one of the most important things, is to keep asking questions. But of course, that's one of the things that they make sure in their schooling system, that they don't allow us to. You just repeat back to them and what they say, and that's it, and don't ask questions. So,
well, yeah. While you're saying that, I was just thinking about my sister Marcia, who breaks in horses for a living. One might call them being schooled. Is that what schooling and education is actually there to break us?
Yes, really it is. We are trained to be slaves. in, to put it bluntly, we are trained to be slaves. We're trained to obey, and not to. I mean, it's a particularly interesting topic that Dawn and I often talk about with people, at how people are indoctrinated rather than educated. And when we examined how doctors were trained, because obviously we had to look into that, we found it was exactly the same. Not only had they gone through the same schooling systems as everyone else, so they were indoctrinated from the age of five or whatever it was when they started school, but when they started medical college, we found it just continued. We found, to our shock, that, for instance, we were talking about germs earlier, they are indoctrinated by the lecturers at the medical colleges. They are not allowed to do any research of their own. If they were not allowed to ask, you know, if they were told, well, this particular germ causes this particular disease, they were not allowed to ask for the scientific papers, for instance, which is something we did. And so they just really, come exam time, had to regurgitate the same information that their lecturers had given to them, same way as you do at school, with no proper research. And so you can see the problems. And then when we looked into it further, we found that most of the medical colleges, training colleges, were either partly or totally owned by the pharmaceutical companies, and that the curriculums for doctors were set largely by the pharmaceutical companies, and the college libraries were stocked by the pharmaceutical companies. So you can see a pattern emerge which made and has made doctors a little more than drug salesmen for the pharmaceutical companies. And talking to doctors, we found this to be true.
When you have classic cult indoctrination techniques, you are isolated from your family and your friends. You are made to repeat meaningless tasks over and over. There's a silo mentality that henpecks anybody who says outside the box. There's a central authority figure who dictates what's going on. And usually there's poor nutrition and sleep deprivation. Did I just describe medical school and most school, for that matter, and most
Absolutely.
Jobs, for that matter?
Yeah.
Certainly in the school system, you know, this whole training, I mean, you can sort of, you know, liken it to the Pavlov and his dogs, where, you know, at the end of every session, bells are rung so that you move to the next one, so you just get trained into, you know, it is just training to move from one class to the next, and it's disruptive of actual learning processes, because you're only allowed to learn in short sort of time sections. So instead of really diving into a topic and really gathering the kind of the students' attention and really sort of delving into it.
We will come back to that right after the break, ladies and gentlemen. You listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guests are Dawn Lister and David Parker.
To the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the show that's all about trying to be Mexican. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and my very special guests, Dawn Lister and David Parker, are joining us. This is a listener-supported show, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to remind you, Vinnie and the Vendettas, that song you just heard. We're in the studio now trying to record all of that stuff. We've got, like, what, like 40 temp tracks, I think, that we've kind of got as our shortlist, and we need to whittle that down so we can make our first album. Just make too much good music, the producer said. It's very, very hard for him. Now, this, you know, these are good problems to have, they say. I'd like to thank our sponsors as well. Interestingly enough, my naturopath, HoldenHealthCare.com, emphasis on the care, who's been practicing for over 30 years in the industry and has been training people to change their life or die. All right, that's basically what he says. If you come to me and you've got a real problem with your life and it's caused by your lifestyle, your diet, your thinking, your thoughts, your processes, and the people you hang around with and stuff like that, you've got two choices, change or die. Pretty straightforward, ladies and gentlemen. Am I changing? A bit. A bit. Now, also we've got reopen.nz, a directory of anti-mandate pro-choice all-inclusive businesses in New Zealand. Would love everybody to add their freedom business to that one today. Indeed, we're also making a documentary, River of Lies, at riveroflies.co.nz, about the entire New Zealand scamdemic and all of the inlays with that, made by Billy TK and myself and a number of other huge names internationally. Very, very grateful to be a part of the project. Dawn and David, welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, and the name of your book is, and where's the website for it?
The book's called What Really Makes You Ill, Why Everything You Thought You Knew About Disease Is Wrong, and the website is whatreallymakesyouill.com, so nice and easy. And there's lots of free information on there and videos and articles, so people can find out quite a lot of stuff for free. But obviously we hope they buy the book because that's what keeps us going. But I'm sure people will find it very useful.
And how much is that book? What's going to set people back here? I mean, about a fundamental realignment of their understanding of the fabric of reality with regards to your health, which is regards to your life and living in and of itself. How much is that worth?
Exactly as they say.
Oh, yes.
If you think education's expensive, then try and see how much ignorance costs you. That's basically it. But to answer your question, Vinny, it depends where you buy the book from. I mean, obviously, all books end up on Amazon. I know a lot of people don't want to use Amazon, but if you buy it on Amazon, it's probably around £25. You can buy it from other places. You can buy the Kindle version, which is probably about $10, or you can buy the audio version. We do an audio version of it, which you can only buy from our website. And Dawn will perhaps correct me, I think, is that around £20, Dawn? Something like that. But the price is there. That's the audio version, which you can download onto any of your devices of choice and listen to while you're in the car or anywhere else for that matter. So people have got, the cheapest one is about $10. And that's for the sort of Kindle version. So there's a variety that people can go and have a look at. As I say, we've found it's very successful. I don't know whether this applies to any of your listeners, but it's been translated now into three other languages, which are French, Dutch, and Japanese. So everyone gets a...
Japanese version isn't available just yet, but the other two are actually published and out there, and we've got links to those on our site as well. But it's important to sort of make the point, the book's not just about germs, it's about a whole lot else. It also goes into the agendas and the background and the sort of history with medicine and vaccines and all sorts of things. So it is quite packed with information, again, because of there's so much to be covered, but so we don't cover the agendas in full detail, but certainly enough for people to get an idea. And also, it's not just based on the system in the UK or even just in the US. It does, we do talk about some of the problems in other areas of the world and how certain areas of the world are treated somewhat differently, and how all these efforts to get people to feel sorry for people in, what they call developing countries. They send Bill Gates out there so that everyone can have their vaccines, and because that'll help them. And we explain why that probably isn't a good idea, to put it mildly.
How many times has Bill Gates or any vaccine company out there and done a huge kind of like vaccine, oh, we're giving them away for free to the third world, and then they wind up in court and have to pay billions of dollars in compensation because they killed a whole bunch of people and crippled a hell of a lot more?
Yes, that's, I mean, as well, I mean, it's not that many years ago that the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation were complicit in a vaccination program, I think, in India. Certainly, as Dawn said, one of the so-called third world countries, maybe it was Africa, but they were supposed to be vaccinating them for one particular disease, but it was found that included in that vaccination, there was a sterilization drug. So it was disrupting and preventing sort of conception, which was a pretty nasty underhand thing to do. But of course, as always, they get away with it. And that's not the first time they, you know, they get caught out with these things. But we deal in our book, because it's quite a major thing, we deal with the whole issue of vaccinations to show not only the sort of things that are in them, but the fact that they are neither safe nor effective, which also also leads into having to explain to people the absence of an immune system, which is often a big shock to people. They think, oh, everyone talks about an immune system, but we explain in the book the body doesn't work that way. It has a repair and maintenance system, but it doesn't have a system that we're told by the medical establishment where they can inject something into your bloodstream, which will then get the body to produce so-called antibodies, which are specific to the germ. Okay.
I was just thinking about this. You've got a body and you're injecting antibodies into it, and people didn't it didn't occur to people that there might be something fundamentally wrong with that idea of thinking.
Well, it's not exactly that they're injecting antibodies in. What they inject in, the toxins that they inject into your body, are supposed to, and I do say supposed to, get the body to produce antibodies, which are just proteins, but they call them antibodies because they're supposed to be specific to the germ which they're vaccinating you against. And then they're supposed to lurk around in your blood system until that unhappy day when one of these fictitious germs attacks your body, and then these specialized proteins are supposed to swoop in and devour them. That's never been proven. No one has ever seen it. There's no scientific evidence for it. And it's not surprising, because the body knows that it doesn't get attacked by germs, so why would it have to have an immune system that worked that way? But what it does have, as I say, is a repair system. As we know, if we cut our hands or get an injury, the body will use proteins called globulins, which form a scab, and your body heals. And it does this all the time. It also detoxes, gets rid of any toxins that you may have taken in through your food, or you've been sprayed by chemtrails or something. The body will do its best to detox them. Now, your body is doing that continuously, and you wouldn't even notice it unless it gets overwhelmed by the toxicity, and then your detox systems will become more obvious. The first ones you get is what people call the common cold. Well, that's just your body detoxing when it has to employ the mucous membranes to help it get rid of the overload of toxicity. And if it's more severe, then people say they've got the flu, influenza, but that's just a more severe detoxification. If they get spots and rashes coming up on their body, that's again just the body pushing toxicity out through the skin, because the skin is the body's largest organ, so it will use the skin to push those toxins out. But then again, the medical establishment, because it doesn't understand what's happening, it will look at those spots and rashes and give it specific names, and then want to give you treatment. You know, those names can be chickenpox, measles, scarlet fever, things like that, even herpes, shall we say, depending on, again, where those blisters may appear. But there is no, and has never been proved to be, a germ that causes any of those symptoms. And that's really the important thing for people to realize, that it's a confidence trick almost, where everyone is led to believe that germs are the enemy. And so the whole antibiotics thing is designed to kill bacteria, for instance. And vaccines are designed to give you this mythical immunity.
The thing is that the system is designed to make us feel that we cannot be responsible for our own health, and that's therefore we have to hand over control over our own bodies, over our own health, over everything to these so-called experts, because they know better than us. But the body actually is much wiser and much better at healing itself. In fact, it does it all the time and can, as long as we don't get in the way by poisoning it. And one of the ways of poisoning it is injecting materials into the bloodstream, which bypasses all the normal kind of body's defense mechanisms. So, it's a wonderful business model, isn't it?
Well, I think it was Nicola Grace from Health Freedom New Zealand who told me that your health is inextricably tied to your freedom, because if you don't have your health, you can't enjoy your freedom. And if you don't have your freedom, you can't enjoy your health. And so it's interesting what you're saying there is about how to they're trying to get people to give up their protection of their own health, to give control of it to somebody else. It's inherently anti-freedom. And I remember one time somebody asked me, Vinny, what are we up against? What are we really up against? Is it aliens? Is it reptilians? Is it New World Order satanic pedophiles or whatever? And I go, well, basically, we're up against anti-life.
That's a good thing that so much of the system, there's the chemical industry as well as the pharmaceutical industry, and so much of it is based on them making products and things that are unnatural, and all these synthetic chemicals are put into not just the products but now into the food. So we're no longer relating to the natural world. We're no longer many people are no longer eating natural food. So yes, it's making a synthetic, and the body doesn't like synthetic stuff. It likes, and it doesn't like to be poisoned. So that's where we are to learn that how not to be poisoned and what to. It's not about scaring people about poisons, but it's so they've got the knowledge, so they can then make informed decisions about what they can do and use the products they use. But of course, removing our custom from these big corporations isn't going to make them lots of money. That's why they don't like it. But there's the information's getting out that it's the system is designed not to be supportive of us and our health, that's for sure. So yeah, anti-life.
if you can think about it in one word, really, the biggest enemy and the biggest thing we're trying to fight is ignorance. And I say that in the nicest way, when people just don't know, in the same way with Dawn and I, going back 15 years or so, we believed all the things that we no longer believe now, particularly on the health side, because we just didn't know. We were brought up to believe vaccinations were good and doctors knew what they were doing and all the rest of it.
And now you've done the one thing that nobody else has done. You looked.
And anyone can do that, we encourage people to do it. If you paid due diligence and don't take no for an answer and use critical thinking and follow the evidence, you can study anything. And both Dawn and I were qualified, obviously, in our own fields. And so we use the same critical thinking that we use for our former professions to examine the medical system, and came up with rather startling and rather worrying answers. And we're pleased to say that there are now a growing number of doctors and researchers that have now come into the fray, as it were, and are starting to speak out, because, as we found, as soon as doctors speak out, once they've realised that what they've been doing for the last 40 years in some cases as GPs, and we've had some tell us this, that once they find out that what they've been doing was wrong, useless and actually dangerous, they become very ashamed. And they know that as soon as they speak out, they'll have their licenses to practice taken away from them. So that's how doctors are controlled. Have a nice job, as long as you don't rock the boat. If you speak out, we'll take your license off you, then you've got no job. And it's as simple as that. And that's how it's run. But I'm pleased to say that more doctors are speaking out.
When a builder builds a building, Is he practicing? Why do doctors have a practice? Exactly. Is it because they don't fundamentally know what the hell they're doing? And they want to give themselves some kind of a legal avenue, like a get-out-of-jail-free card? Like, oh, I was just practicing.
Yeah, you would think so, wouldn't you? I mean, they wouldn't see it that way, of course, but you're quite correct. I mean, the message is in the word, isn't it? Practice. Well, I'll come and see you when you've actually stopped practicing and you actually know what you're doing. That's what you're tempted to say. Sorry, Dawn.
Yeah, well, you can see it when, you know, if somebody gets some kind of, you know, drug, pharmaceutical, you know, on a prescription for something, and if that doesn't work, they say, well, we'll try something else. So, yeah, that is still, you know, practicing because they're not totally sure. And there are more and more drugs coming on the market, although also a lot of them are being withdrawn.
Let's talk about drugs after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on republicbroadcasting.org. Go to vinnieeastwood.com, ladies and gentlemen, and make a donation today if you can, please. We'll be right back after these messages. Thank you so much for tuning in, guys. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We've only got a few minutes left in the broadcast here. And so, Dawn, what were you saying about how they create new drugs all the time, right? And the doctors just basically, they have no idea what these things do. And they just kind of like go from one to the next to the next.
Yes, I mean, they have standard manuals of the types of drugs that they should be using for certain conditions. And you know, new drugs are coming on the market all the time, so if one doesn't work, they say, well, if that one doesn't work or doesn't suit you, because, you know, people have what are called side effects, but of course they're direct effects, so they, you know, they can try something else. One of the things that we found was that quite a lot of drugs are removed from the market, and that is remembering that they were introduced onto the market having been declared safe and effective, and found not to be quite so safe and effective, and some of them have some pretty nasty side effects that are not discovered until after they come onto the market, and then they're prescribed to the public in you know, and the public get to be the kind of guinea pigs in long-term effects, because they only ever test in the clinical trials. They generally only test for a relatively short term. So they only see short-term effects, and they don't see the long-term effects, which they discover later when the public are actually using them.
Yeah, I mean, it's marketing, isn't it? I mean, how much medical advice is actually involved in medicine versus how much advertising techniques, how many mind manipulation techniques are actually involved in? There's not a lot of thought process going on over here. I think it's mostly just manipulation.
Yes, and of course there's all sorts of incentives given to doctors, particularly, let's say, in America, where the drug salesman may come into the doctor's office and say, well, we've got this new drug for treating whatever it is, and there's all sorts of incentives for that doctor to use that drug, which of course is not a good idea, is it? Whenever there's money involved, you're not going to get the best service for the people.
In New Zealand, I believe.
I was just going to say, and that's why there is a condition, there's a proper name for it called iatrogenesis, and this means, and people can look it up, it's a bit of a mouthful, iatrogenesis, but it's basically, in simple terms, death by modern medicine. You know, it's not malpractice, it's where a doctor has prescribed a drug to the patient has taken it as prescribed, and it's killed them. iatrogenesis. And in America, with the studies that have been done, there's something like at least 150,000 people die every year from iatrogenesis, death by modern medicine. Now, that's not the only country, of course. I mean, America is very high with its prescription drugs. But, of course, in the UK, every Western country that practices so-called modern medicine, they will have figures, depending on the size of the population, but they will have these huge figures of people dying through iatrogenesis. Now, under any circumstances, that ought to be published and made easily available to the public. I mean, you can get it if you dig, but of course most people are totally unaware of it. I mean, but it's an outrage that all those hundreds, it will be hundreds of thousands, probably even millions of people worldwide dying every year through being poisoned by one drug or another.
Indeed. David Parker and Dawn Less have been my very special guests today, ladies and gentlemen. Check out their website, whatreallymakesyouill.com. Get the audiobook, get the book itself, because as I was saying before, it's a fundamental realignment of the concept of health and your body and all of the inlays within that to help you really understand it in a very effective way, a safe and effective way, which is not a marketing term, you know, right? No, it's medical terminology, safe and effective, my ass. All right, bye-bye, everybody. Thank you so much for your time. Go to VinnieEastwood.com.